This is Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
Let's do some news and find out what's going on out in the world. Shelley's here with that, then a lecture from a weather person. Stick around.
Coming up in the news, the Pier 1 lady's in some trouble, and what is Willie Nelson asking the president for? It's all brought to you by Huffman & Huffman. You know Huffman & Huffman as the brothers in law, but they've got a large group of lawyers all over the area to help you get what you deserve. Call 422-HELP first. So this was the top story on the overnight news, and it's from Windsor, like the town of Windsor around here.
Yes.
Where 10 on Your Side reports that a police officer has been fired following an incident that happened back in December involving a uniformed Army second lieutenant. 13 News Now says the incident occurred during a traffic stop in which police pulled Army medic Lieutenant Karen Nazario over for not having a rear plate on his SUV, though he did have a temporary plate taped to his back window. According to Lieutenant Nazario, the two officers threatened him and his military career. He was pepper sprayed moments after the officers had drawn their guns, and they also used a slang term to suggest he was facing execution. Now, that's how reports put it. Windsor officials said an internal investigation determined the policy was not followed. Officer Joe Gutierrez has since been fired. The reports say that the officers claim Nazario was not cooperating. Body camera footage showed Nazario had his hands held in the air outside the driver's window as he told officers, "I'm honestly afraid to get out." One of the officers told him, "Yeah, you should be." Nazario filed a lawsuit. He's now asking for at least $1 million in damages and for the court to rule that the two officers violated his rights. His Richmond-based attorney believes his client is a victim of police brutality. Now, the investigation here does continue as the governor called the incident disturbing and ordered the Virginia State Police to conduct an independent investigation.
Yeah, apparently he drove to a gas station before getting out of his vehicle rather than stop on the side of a darkened road, and they took that as fleeing.
Yeah.
Was their take or their side or whatever it is. It is ridiculous to watch. It's very, very uncomfortable.
It's
very clearly one-sided. I don't know. It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
For the town of Windsor. Yeah. They'll probably need to have a bake sale because $1 million to a town like Windsor is a lot of dough.
Yeah, for real.
To any town, but a small town.
Yeah.
Tough. Yeah.
Now, elsewhere, we did get the sad news over the weekend that DMX died. He passed on Friday, a week after he suffered an overdose. He'd been deprived of oxygen for about 30 minutes after the overdose. His brain function never returned. By the end of last week, his organs were failing. He was 50 years old. His real name was Earl Simmons. He survived by 15 kids, the youngest born in 2016. His official label, Def Jam, is actually being trashed for releasing two new compilations while he was hospitalized.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, that's not a good look, I guess. We also got the news on Friday about the death of Prince Philip. Now, some of us got the news at more convenient times than others.
The royals are in the news. The royal family. Have you guys seen Prince Philip? That guy is 3,000 years old.
He died tonight.
He just died.
It is with deep sorrow that Her Majesty the Queen has announced the death of her beloved husband, the Royal Highness. Are we sure he died today? I reckon he died 10 years ago. And they just wheel him out attached to strings for special events.
That is an Australian comedian named Lewis Spears who was on stage in a club mocking Prince Philip when the audience shouted out the news that Prince Philip had just died.
That's tough.
They actually handed him a phone to read the news story. That's where you could hear in that he was kind of like, the Queen has announced.
Mm-hmm.
That's awkward. An awkward moment.
And then he digs deeper.
Yeah, because at that point he's like, all right, well, what am I supposed to
do? I'm already in the pool. Yeah, I might as well swim for it.
So we did get the news that Meghan Markle will not be traveling to the United Kingdom for Prince Philip's funeral service on Saturday due to her pregnancy. A Buckingham Palace spokesperson confirmed that while Prince Harry is going to attend, he actually arrived yesterday, Meghan has been advised by her physician not to travel. She's expecting the couple's second child, a daughter, this spring. Harry's trip is his first time to return to the UK since he and Meghan decided to step away as full-time working members of the royal family last year.
And he'll never go back.
I know.
He's never coming back to
the States. Yeah.
He's just left Meghan. They're going to talk him back into being part of the royal family.
I know. I think that thought has crossed everybody's mind. Like
he never comes back.
This is their chance to talk to him without her there.
Because
the whole Oprah interview was her saying her side, and then they brought him in, and he was like, what she said is true.
And it was a lot of it was her telling his story.
Yeah.
It wasn't even her first person account. It was like, well, Harry said, well, Harry, you know, what are you even doing here, man?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, the couple released a statement on the front page of their charitable foundation's website following the royal family's announcement of the 99-year-old Prince Philip's death on Friday. The Duke of Edinburgh's funeral is going to be held next Saturday with a moment of silence followed by a ceremonial procession inside the grounds of Windsor Castle. Philip was married to Queen Elizabeth for 74 years. He is the father of Prince Charles.
Amazing.
Yeah. Now, elsewhere, as we got the news around here last week that we're getting legalized marijuana in Virginia on July 1st of this year, Willie Nelson has now written a letter to President Biden asking him to make the high holidays an official national holiday. There is a petition on change.org as well. Now, for those of us not familiar,
come on,
Willie and his fellow marijuana advocates consider April 20th through the 29th as the high holidays. April 20th is the infamous 420, obviously. And then the 29th is Willie's birthday. He'll be 88 this year.
Wow.
Now, if you're already on board with this, and you probably know about Willie's first annual cannabis convention, which is going to be a virtual event this year. Thank you, pandemic and all. Mm-hmm. It's called Luck Summit, Planting the Seed. It's going down April 26th through the 29th. Nathaniel Ratliff is the host, and there will be performances, cooking demonstrations, comedy routines, and other weed-related stuff. They hope to destigmatize, educate, and promote the cannabis culture.
Can you imagine? Wow.
Tickets are $10. Proceeds benefit something called Headcount Cannabis Voter Project, which obviously is a pro-cannabis organization.
Mm-hmm.
No response from Biden on this yet.
No.
No, we haven't heard.
Do we expect
him.
That Biden will get back to us on this one? No, he's just going to have his gummy and go to bed.
Maybe as fast as the Jeopardy people are getting back to LeVar Burton about his petition to.
Yeah, or that thing with the UFOs and all that other jazz.
Yeah, right.
I saw John. Remember John Boehner?
Yes.
Was the
because it's
Speaker of the House.
It's B-O-E-H-N-E-R. It's Boehner, but he's like, no, call me Boehner.
So he's got a book out. So I saw him interviewed over the weekend. And he used to be pretty hardcore, just say no to drugs. Now he's on the board of a cannabis company.
Oh, for real?
And, you know, he still smokes cigarettes left and right. They're sitting on the counter of the apartment there while they're interviewing him. Glass of red wine.
Wow.
Somebody wants to twist up a joint or eat a gummy. You have this old guy just telling you, you know, it's just like, oh, times are changing, man. Times are changing.
I heard a review of his book on one of the overnight news stations this morning.
Yeah.
And a lot of things have changed with him. He was taking on the Republican. He's a Republican.
Oh, he was naming names. He was talking about, he just said, look, there's Republicans and then there's far right Republicans. And it's destroying the party that he knew, according to him. And he just started naming these cats. Goes, look, here's people that do nothing but make noise, and they don't do anything. All they do is complain about everybody else.
Yep,
and
trying to get on Fox
naming
News
names.
Is what he
yes.
said. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, he was pretty brutal. Yeah, so a lot of things changing on his side.
There you go.
Well, in other news, I don't know how high you'd have to be for this, but the people at Purina just released the Fancy Feast Petite's Feast Cookbook. It is a cookbook for humans to make yourself meals that taste like the different flavors of the Fancy Feast cat food.
Wow, that's an interesting concept because, I mean, when you see your dog's food, and I don't know what you feed your dog at home,
uh-huh.
but I mean, a lot of those dog foods, it'll say, you know, cutlets of beef in a brown gravy with rice and peas or something, and it looks like, wow, this could be people food. Of course, it's not. But the way they've written it, it could be.
And sometimes it smells really good. It just came up on my Facebook memories not too long ago of Stephen Hill and Eric both eating some dog food because it smelled so good. It looked like it was going to be, it seemed like it would be okay to eat.
One
you
would
know?
Think.
Because it smells good. So they both tried it while I videoed them laughing. And it was way just salty and gross. Neither of them liked it, but it smells good.
Yeah.
But it just turned out to be, I don't know.
Gross.
And it was, it did look like it was like chicken and, you know, some vegetables.
That's what
in
I mean.
And
some
like
of them
gravy.
Really look like beef stew or whatever, right?
Yeah. Well, you and your cat can both enjoy things like chicken and rice. Seems pretty easy. Yours will be a honey sriracha chicken with fried rice. Theirs will be the cat food that includes chicken, rice, and gravy. The cookbook has 12 recipes, and it is available for free. All you have to do is go to the Fancy Feast website.
And give them all your personal information.
Yeah, because you don't have to download it.
Well, of course.
Yep.
If you just vote for my baby in this baby contest, all I need you to do is give them all your personal information, recommend two friends, and then say, I voted.
Yes.
It's just that easy.
Meanwhile, there's a lady in Florida who was just sentenced to 30 days in jail for intentionally coughing on a cancer patient in Pier 1 last year. You remember this story? It happened back in June of last year.
Do you really need this? What do you want to do? Post it for you? How about that? I think I'll get real close to you and cough on you then. How's that?
Yeah. Now,
Oh my God.
In the height of the coronavirus pandemic, her name is Deborah Hunter, and a judge just sentenced her to serve 30 days in jail, pay a $500 fine, serve 6 months probation, and undergo a mental health evaluation along with anger management.
I don't know how I could stop myself from grabbing her by the throat.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Because I hear that, and viscerally, I just want to snatch and make that stop.
Yes.
It makes me so mad.
It does. Yeah. Well, I mean.
So I'm going to jail, too, I guess.
Yeah, because she's getting hers here. She did receive credit for the one day that she already served in jail. She was also ordered to pay the cost of the victim's COVID test. Now, Deborah here was arrested on a misdemeanor assault charge last July. This was after the video spread of her intentionally coughing, maskless, on the cancer patient. Heather Sprague is her name, who was recording her with a Pier 1 employee. The victim, who has a brain tumor, told the judge being coughed on made her fearful that she had contracted coronavirus. The Miami Herald said the mother of 10 ended up testing negative. Deborah Hunter has since expressed remorse about the coughing attack.
Yeah, well, if you're a cancer patient, it doesn't have to be coronavirus. It could be the common cold, and it can take you down because you don't have... If you're doing chemo, your body's wiped out.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to want to stay away from people as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, tough spot to be in. But that wow, that bothers me a lot.
Yes, yes. Just the fight, and then coming over, I just the sound of the cough. Even
next thing you just see is the back of a fist. Good night, everybody, and then me in handcuffs.
Well, here's something more sweet and innocent, even though it's about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. But apparently, the film has been playing the Clinton Street Theater that's in Portland, Oregon, every Saturday night for 43 years, and they refuse to let the pandemic end that streak. A guy named Nathan Williams, who I'm sure wears, you know, the clothes and
the fishnets,
gets out the spanking items.
Could be.
He hosts the Rocky Horror Nights at the theater, and when it closed last March due to the coronavirus restrictions, he kept on screening it. Sometimes he would have, like, one friend in the theater with him. Sometimes he did it alone.
Okay.
But for 54 weeks, every Saturday, the tradition did not end. They did not break the streak. He said, "I was in a position to keep the flame burning, to keep a torch lit. I'm just a guy holding the torch for the city of Portland, for all the weirdos, for all the people who don't have a safe place to call home. We are home." When the theater reopened on April 3rd, Rocky Horror was the first movie that they played.
In Portland, where didn't they have a violent protest for about 100 nights in a row? Set the city on fire, took over a city block, burned stuff, everything else. I guess this theater's not part of that.
No, apparently not.
Wow.
It's the...
Good for him.
It's the place where they keep Rocky Horror going.
Maybe even the protesters don't want to dress up in the fishnets. Dr. Frankenfurter.
I never actually went to go see that. Yeah. I know it seems like it's something that would be perfect for me and that I would definitely have done. My best friend went one time and her car broke down on the way there.
On the side of
264 in the outfit, having to deal with a tire getting changed or whatever it was. Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. Does that movie still hold up? I mean, it's obviously way back in time, but especially with the... I don't even know if Frankenfurter is transsexual.
Yeah, he's a transsexual from Transylvania.
Yeah, that's right. From transsexual Transylvania.
Yes.
That's it, yeah. So does the transsexualness hold up, or is it seen to be make fun of trans people at this point?
I think Tim Curry, who played that role, I don't know what he does personally, his personal life, but I've always thought of him that way anyway.
As that guy?
So I don't think that would be a slight... Yeah. To those folks. I could be wrong. I'm not one of those folks, but I don't think it would be a slight.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know they run around chasing and spanking. And
that was
what my friend said was the most fun part of it. So
it's a little bit. It's a small part.
Yeah.
I went one time. I got hit with a Frankfurter. And yeah. Never returned.
Okay. And there you are.
Did you wear the outfit?
No. It was there was a buddy from college who was like, you guys got to check this out.
We got to do this. Thing. We can meet some chicks.
So it was the last time any of us hung out with that guy.
Then you find out he's a theater major. Because that's really what that's about. Yeah. It's more about the song and dance thing.
Around here today, we do have a slight chance of some showers and stuff after 2 o'clock this afternoon. Except me otherwise, highs are going to be around 75, mostly cloudy tonight, a low around 50, and then partly sunny tomorrow. Highs only into the mid-60s tomorrow. Right now, we're at 64 degrees, and I am Shelley for Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.